Psalm 84 for just a moment. Stand with me. And don't forget now, we're going to preach for just a little bit. And here in just a minute, we're going to take up a special offering for Brother A.L. and Sister Emily to help them in this time of need that they've had in the passing of Sister Emily's daughter. And do be praying for Sister Emily in these days. Don't forget to be praying that God would help her. She's got a lot on her shoulders, and she's got her own health issues. And then, of course, Brother A.L. trying to get good and back on his feet. And then my understanding is they'll be assuming the care of her other daughter. And so they've got a lot of irons in the fire and need a whole lot. And so we want to be a part of helping this morning if the Lord will let us, and relieve some of that financial burden. Psalm 84, as I said, I understand we preached from this psalm a couple months back, magnifying this psalm. And really the truth that we want to give is not unlike that we've already preached. But I want to take a very specific angle at this psalm, if the Lord will help us, where the Bible said in verse number 1, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My soul and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us, please. Fill us, Lord, with wisdom and the word of God. Lord, beyond our own abilities, I pray, Lord, you'd let us preach. Help these that have gathered in. And Lord, bless our church in these days. Take this little thought. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we preach to the church, that, Lord, we would take up this challenge. And Lord, get a hold of these things and leave rejoicing in the truth of the Word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In Psalm 84, I think as we've read these 12 verses, in their totality this morning, it's not hard to pick up upon the theme of this psalm, is that the psalmist is speaking about the house of God. He's speaking about he calls them the tabernacles and the courts, and he talks about the house of my God in verse number 10. And so he's dealing with the fact that there's something in him that is being drawn to this place of worship for that particular dispensation of time. This tabernacle, this house of God, these courts that he speaks of is where God meets with his children. Brother A.L., it's where the psalmist longs to be. As we consider this psalm, Psalm 84, it's evident that he has a thirst and a longing he's fainting for. He has this great desire that he would be able to be in the house of God. For whatever reason, there is a distance and a longing in his heart for God's house. We don't know where he's at. We don't know what created the distance, but the house of God is not accessible to him during this time. Some have said that it's King David in the time of Absalom's rebellion, when David had been betrayed and David had been done wrong and had been put to flight and literally run out of Jerusalem. And now in the wilderness, David is longing to get back to the holy city of Jerusalem. and my friend be able to enter into the city of God and the house of God one more time and enjoy the things that he got out of the house of the Lord. And we'll assume this morning for our study that indeed maybe that is the setting that David, that though hurt and betrayed in this very place where the house of God was, this very holy city where God dwelt, yet David, though he had been done wrong, he loved and desired the house of God. And I meet many folk, and I, even this week in being out and knocking doors on Tuesday and yesterday morning and engaging with people, it's amazing how many people will testify, and I'm not arguing whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, but how that because of some hurt or betrayal or something that took place in a church somewhere, it drove them away, and they have very little desire to even go back. And I'm not making light of those hurts. I'm not making light of the betrayals. I know those things happen. Amen. They've happened to you and they've happened to me. And yet the psalmist here, in this psalm, though he's been hurt and he's been betrayed, he still loves the house of God. He still desires the house of God. And he still wants to attend the house of God because he loves it and because he knows there's something there that will help him. Now I want to preach this morning on this thought on why I love the church. Why I love the church. You say, preacher, at the church, that is where hurts are had. And that's where betrayals sometimes are experienced. And preacher, have you never got tired of being hurt and betrayed and done wrong to the point where you didn't want to go? And if I'm being honest, there have been times that thought has crossed my mind. The fact of the matter is, as I told you on last Sunday there is no hurt like church hurt. And there's no hurt that seems to be as hurtful as what comes from the family of God. And yet I was thinking about this week and meditating on the thought of why I love the church. And even though we all can testify about hurts, do you understand today that the house of God, yes, it is where we get hurt, but it's the same place that we find healing for those same hurts. And there's not another place in all the world that you can go, amen, with the expectation, yes, I'm going to be hurt, and yes, I'm going to be betrayed, and yes, I'm going to be done wrong, and yes, there's going to be maybe some things that are brought into my life that are going to be painful to me, and yet, amen, the very place that I experience those things is, amen, so needful in my life because, amen, if I'm going to receive help, if I'm going to have healing, amen, it's going to come from the same place, amen, that I experienced the hurt in. You say, preacher, do you know that by experience? You better believe I do. Amen, there are times when it's crossed my mind. Amen, I'll maybe quit church. And you say, oh, preacher, that's terrible. Amen, you probably thought the same thing a time or two. And, amen, there's probably been some moments in your flesh and in your weakness. Amen, you thought, man, I maybe go on up the road, find me somewhere else to go. And yet, my friend, have we lost sight, or may we not lose sight this morning? Amen, that's not the right response when you get hurt in church, but rather it is to continue to, amen, long for that help that God can and that God will send from the house of God. And so if we was to ask David, do you love the church? And David would say, yes. And maybe somebody would say, but David, hey man, your own son done you wrong at the house of God. And David Ahithophel, that one that, hey man, you used to walk hand in hand and in camaraderie with and serve together and commune together and fellowship together. He's turned his back on you. And David, you mean to tell me you love the house of God in spite of all of those things? And David would say, Amen. One day in the courts in the house of God. Amen. One day in God's courts is better than a thousand. I thank God that I have learned that, and I believe God's given me that. I believe the Holy Ghost has given me that. But if there's a tangible source and I've received that from, I believe it's probably from my old papa. Amen. Now they called him Pappy, but amen, to me it's just Grandpa Ladge. And Grandpa Ladge gave his life and traveled up and down the road, pastored a few churches. And my friend, oh, I'd seen him get hurt. I've seen preacher friends turn on it. I've seen people tell tales upon him. I watched that man for over 40 years just labor and that friend be done wrong and be hurt time and time again. Sometimes by his own family, sometimes by his dearest friends, sometimes by people who had, for whatever reason, had turned themselves into his foe. Amen, but I believe this with all my heart. Amen, that old Grandpa Lange to his dying day. Amen. He stayed in love with the church. He never let those things make him bitter. And he never let those things drive him away. Amen. Oh, he can tell you about sad tales. I know about him because I was his grandson. Amen. Had those kind of insights. But, amen, I never heard my papa run down. Amen. The house of God. I've seen him, that friend, go in. He was the kind, if he'd come in here this morning the first time, and for the first time, he'd walk around, he'd shake your hand. Amen. He'd introduce himself and get your name. And in about 90 seconds, my friend, you would think, amen, he was the best friend you had in the world. Amen. You know why he did that? He didn't go to the bar rooms and do that. Amen. He didn't run around, my friend, with wicked people and carry on like that. But he loved the church. He loved the church. Amen. He wanted to maximize his potential, minimize his becoming a problem. And in spite of all that he encountered, amen, loved the church. And so I want to preach out of this psalm as David said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. Amen. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. David said, I ain't looking for a reason to leave. I'm not looking for a reason to get out. I got plenty of them. He said, but Lord, I love your church. I love the place where you meet with your people. Amen. And David had reasons why that he loved the church. And so if you'll let me for a few minutes, I want to preach on why I love the church. Number one, amen, let me say, number one, I love the church. Amen, because it is a place of a consolation for my soul. It is a consolation for my soul. Amen, notice verse 1 and 2 again, David is speaking about my soul. Amen, notice he said about his soul. Amen, that his soul longeth, and that his soul fainteth, and that his soul crieth out. In other words, David said, from the depths of my being, there's something about the house of God that my soul is drawn to. Amen, can I say today, amen, that the house of God is a consolation for my soul. Amen, such a consolation, I ain't ever found it anywhere else in all this world. I know the secret place and a personal walk with God, I find it. But my friend, listen, I'm talking about somewhere you can go. Hey man, listen, I ain't found it on a bass boat. I ain't found it in a deer stand. I ain't found it in a Walmart aisle. Hey man, I ain't found it in the honky tonks in the bar room set. I hadn't found it, my friend, in some worldly venue. Amen. But in the house of God, there has been a consolation that I find for my soul. And when my soul is longing And my soul is fainting in this world, death. Amen. When my heart and my flesh is crying out. Amen. Oh, I'm glad there's a place I can go to and to find a consolation for my soul. Amen. Notice what he found to be a consolation to his soul. Amen. Down in the house of God, he found it. Amen. Through the promise that is reflected. Amen. Look in verse number 1. How amiable. Amen. Now don't miss it. It's very subtle now. But he said, how amiable are thy tabernacles. Amen. Not thy tabernacle, but thy tabernacles. Amen. Now we understand in David's dispensation attack that there was but one tabernacle, earthly speaking, in which God had said to Moses, I'll dwell there. And yet David references the fact that, amen, there is more than one tabernacle. Amen, you say, preacher, what does this mean? I believe that, amen, here in the plural form, that tabernacles is in the plural form. And yet there was one earthly dwelling of God in that day. But the indication is that the psalmist understood the earthly was but a reflection of the heavenly. And can I say this morning when we gather in, amen, we've not come into some kind of social club. Amen, the church is not an organization. The church is not a club. It's not a, amen, just some little material earthly gathering. But rather when we enter in through the doors of 845 West Highway 2570, amen, we find the consolation for our soul. If we will keep in mind, this is but a reflection, amen, of where we are headed. Ain't God, amen, can I say you look around, amen, and dwell on all the imperfections and all the hypocrisy in other people. Amen, you can dwell on, my friend, some hurt and boo-boo and betrayal. Or, my friend, you can walk in and say, you know what? There ain't no such thing as a perfect church here, death. Amen. And by the way, so long as you're a member of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, amen, it won't be a perfect church. Thank God we're headed to a land, amen, where the Bible said Christ is going to present to himself a church, a bride, amen, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that's our blessed home this morning. The promise, amen, that though we go through some things on this side, amen, the church is where we're reminded of the consolation of our soul through the promise that is reflected. And then verse number 2, through the presence that is revealed. Amen, look with me in verse number 2. The Bible said, my soul longeth and yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Amen. You know why David stayed in love with the church? Because, amen, the house of God in his day, we're using that term church interchangeable. Amen. For you and me tonight or this afternoon. But, amen, David realized, amen, yes, God can meet with you in a cave. And yes, God can meet with you when you're all by yourself. And even in the wilderness, God will be there to hold your hand. Amen. But there's just something special, amen, about going down the house of God. Amen. Gathering in and watching God reveal himself. Amen. To God's children. My friend, listen, we serve a living God. Amen. He ain't dead and he ain't distant. Amen. But Gerald, he knows what we need. And he knows how to reveal himself. Amen. Can I say this morning? Amen. I love the church. I love it. Amen. Because of the consolation it is for my soul. And I get to walk in and feel the moving of the Holy Ghost. And God begins to stir within my heart. Amen. It reminds me everything's going to be okay. Amen. And may I say, no wonder David said, a day in thy courts
It's better than 1,000 anywhere else. If I had 1,000, if I had 10,000 days, amen, to live one day in the house of God would be better than anywhere else. It'd be better than spending those days at Neyland Stadium. It'd be better than spending it on the bass boat. It'd be better, my friend, than going anywhere else. Because where else are you going to faith? Amen. A God that is there, and a God that is alive, and a God that is helping in ministry and healing the hurts of our life. Amen. Why I love the church, it is a consolation for my soul. Number two. Amen. David, why do you love the church? But Jeff, why do you love the church? Amen. Let me say number two. It is a catalyst for my stability. It is a catalyst or a conduit for my stability. Amen. You see, if David is the author of this psalm, amen, everything is turned upside down in his life. He's not on the throne, by the way. Amen. What he's longing and thirsting and crying out for, amen, is not the throne and the crown and all the pleasures that came from being the king in Jerusalem. And it was the house of God that he missed. And so everything is upside down, inside out, and topsy-turvy in his life. But you know what David said? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd love to enter into the house of God. He said, because I remember in the house of God, there were days my world seemed upside down. And it was from the house of the Lord that I found a catalyst for my stability. It kept me going. It kept me stable. It kept me from falling. It kept me from falling out. It kept me from being discouraged. And it kept me stable in my walk with God. Amen. I seen in verse number 3. Amen. I'm talking about why I love the church this morning. It's a catalyst for my stability. Amen. It's a catalyst for, amen, the stability of my family. Amen. A stability for my family. Amen. David's man out there in the wilderness longing and meditates on the house of God. All of a sudden the Holy Ghost reminds him of that little sparrow and that swallow that made a nest for their young in the house of God. Away from the storms and away from the wind, away from the predators, away, my friend, from all that would have no doubt, amen, devoured these young birdlings. And David said, amen, the house of God is a catalyst, for the stability of my family. And I tell you today, amen, I know bad things happen to folk who even come to church. I'm not downplaying that. I'm not here to preach against that today. Amen, though they some things need to be preached against. Amen, but may I say, amen, in these days, keep your family in church. Amen. Keep your family in church. I'd hate to think where my marriage would be. Amen. If I didn't have a catalyst for stability. Amen. For that relationship. Amen. It's been hard enough to raise youngins in these days and keep them in church and do it in church. Amen. And turn them out halfway decent youngins. Amen. Friend, I'm going to tell you, friend. Amen. You won't do it without the church. Amen. And by the way, the right kind of church. Amen. A place that will instruct in the paths of righteousness. And a place that, my friend, will lift high the bloodstained banner and make much of the Word of God. And give you a foundation you can build your home upon. Amen. Thank God for the stability that we have in the house of God. Amen. For our family. Amen. It's a stability for my favor. Amen. Notice what he said in verse number 4. He said, blessed are they, amen, that casually every now and then go to thy house. That ain't what he said. He said, blessed are everyone that dwell in thy house. Amen. They make a habit out of it. Amen. Come Sunday morning, it ain't an option. Amen. About what they're going to do. And David said that crowned it. Amen. That they have made up their mind they're going to dwell in the house of God. Amen. David said there'll be a favor, there'll be a blessedness, and a blessing that, amen, is brought upon their life. Amen. Can I say that's one of the reasons that, amen, the church is so important to us today. Amen. Not just going there, amen, but belonging and being together and being in fellowship. And, amen, call it whatever you want, membership, fellowship. Amen. I mean, putting your name on the head. Amen. And saying, I want to be a part of what God is doing in His church and dwell there and link up with it and be accountable to it. I want to dwell there, amen, because it brings stability and favor in my life. Amen. This is what I think Paul had in mind. If you want a New Testament principle, amen, friend, this is, amen, where church discipline comes in and the accountability that we hold one another to. And Paul would say that, amen, in church discipline, a man is turned over, amen, to be destroyed by the adversary. And we must walk right and belong and dwell and do right. Amen. Because when we're hooked up to the church, amen, there is a favor upon our life. Amen. But God keeps you and that from some things and gives us other things we do not deserve. Is that right? Amen. A stability for my family. A stability for my favor. And we sing number three. There's a stability for my faith. Look with me in verse number four. Buddy, I'm flying this morning. Amen. Watch this now. Amen. He said, blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee. They will be still praising thee. And crowd that'll stay in love with the church. And crowd that'll dwell there and make up their mind. Amen. You know what David said? Amen. When everything seems like it's falling apart and everything seems like it's crumbling around them, he said they'll still be praising God. Their faith will be anchored in the God that does not change. And though time and circumstance, my friend, may, amen, bring much uncertainty, there's one thing that crowd knows and loves the church. They know the Lord of the church, and they know the God of the church, and they still will be praising God no matter what goes on. Amen. Stability, the catalyst for my stability. Amen. Still praising God. David, why are you praising God? Because I've been in the house of God. The house of God has been the catalyst of my stability. It don't matter what son done me wrong. It don't matter what friends have turned their back. It doesn't matter what hearts have been turned away. Up from me being the king of Israel. Amen. David said one thing I got in the house of God. Amen. Was a faith that would trust God no matter what. I know David had his moments, Brother Mo. I know there were times when David said, amen, I don't feel like I can go on. But even in them times, there was something that he had got tapped into along the way. And that friend would stir his heart and he would rage. And even in some of them psalms where he would say, amen, my foot is slipping. I don't feel like I can go on. And my soul is disquieted within me. And by the end of those psalms, David would have his hand uplifted and say, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Where did he learn that? He learned it down at the house of God. That was a catalyst for his faith being stable. Amen. Let me give you number three this morning. Amen. The house of God. Preacher, why do you love the church? Amen. It's a consolation for my soul. It's a catalyst for my stability. In verses 5-8, it is a comfort in my stress. Amen. A comfort in my stress. Amen. Can I say that David knew what it was to be stressed? And you and I know what it is to be stressed. Amen. And may I say this morning, don't ever belittle, amen, the stress somebody else is going through. Amen. You say, well, amen, their stress ain't as big as me. Amen. Well, I want to say this morning that may or may not be so. Amen. But whatever somebody's going through, it may be real to them. Amen. It may be no big deal to you, but it's real to them. Amen. And I want to say this morning that, amen, in times of my distress and stress, amen, I'm glad in the house of God I found a comfort to help me along the way. I know this ain't very deep, but amen, it fits with the theme of the day. Amen, do you look at church preacher? You better believe I do. Amen, there's been times in my stress. Listen to this. Listen. Amen, let me run you through these few little verses here. Amen, what about this? Amen, when I'm disoriented and need a fence. When I'm disoriented and need a fence. Notice what David said. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the what? The ways of them. Amen. The ways of the house of God. The ways that my friend have been declared, that, amen, have been given as truth. Amen. And so David can say, amen, when I'm weak and disoriented and cannot find my way. Amen. You know how David makes it one step at a time. Amen. There are Bible principles and truths that, amen, have been placed into his heart. Amen. That in the moment of being disoriented, amen, David can still do right. Amen. Can I hammer down right here a minute? We've got a generation that, my friend, better grow up spiritually and start living their life by Bible principles again. Amen. In times of emotion and in times, my friend, of stress. Amen. Listen, I tell you what. Amen. It's governed me. Amen. It has been those Bible truths. It has been those guide rails. Those, amen, those fences that have been erected in my life. I may be disoriented. I may not can, amen, explain what I'm going through. I may not can understand what I'm going through. I may not, my friend, can be able to tell you, amen, how I'm going to get out of it. Amen. But I'm glad I've got truth in my heart. And the ways of God through the church have been fenced up in my life, and even when I'm disoriented, give me direction on what to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to live by Bible principles. Amen. Where do you find those? Amen. I tell you where you ought to find them. You ought to find them down at the house of God, listen to the man of God, preach the word of God by the Spirit of God. And, amen, quit making excuses. Way, amen, you don't agree and you don't believe and you don't see it that way. Amen, cause there'll be a time in your life if you ain't careful. Amen, if you don't draw from the house of God. Amen, those spiritual fences that will keep you in the straight and narrow way, you'll fall out one of these days. Amen, that's good preaching right there. When I'm disoriented and need, amen, offense. Number two, when I'm dread and need a filling. Amen, he said, who passing through the valley. By the way, just cause you go to church don't mean you won't pass through the valley. It don't mean there won't be valleys. He said the valley of Baca, and we preached on this. I ain't got time to bog down here. Amen, but he said when you're in the valley, amen, passing through the valley of Baca, amen, what happens? Amen. Amen. He said, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. And so when I'm dry and need a filling, why, preacher, do you love the church? Amen. It's a comfort in my stress. Amen. When I'm dry, when I'm parched with, amen, I feel exhausted. Amen. Brother Larry, I'm glad to report to you today. Amen. Down in the house of God, I've seen the rain fall. And I've seen the moisture build up. Amen. And I've received a feeling that, amen, would satisfy me and strengthen me. Yet, amen, energize me to be able, amen, to make it through the valley. Yet, ain't you glad for that today? Amen. Listen, we can focus on the valley. Amen. We can focus on the valley. We as a church have been through some valleys together. But, and I say, I'm glad to tell you today, amen, the Lord can make it a well, and the Lord can let the rain fall, and through the valley, thank God, when you're dry, God can give a feeling that you need. Amen. I thank God for it. Amen. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching this morning. Amen. I'm about to run a lap on my own preaching. Amen, Brother Riley, we need the church. We absolutely need it. Amen. We're living in a dry and barren land, a weary land. Amen. Where no water is. But thank God, every now and then we can go down the house of God. And when we're dry and need a filling, there is a comfort to you and I in our stress. Amen. Let me say number three. When I'm discouraged and need a friend. Where do you get that? I ain't found it in the honky tonks and dance halls. Hey man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I do have some sinner friends. Hey man, they don't live. Hey man, if you knew the lives they live. Hey man, you go preach for you friends to sinners. Hey man, if I'm being Christ-like, I am. Hey man, but listen, I'm not talking about amen, being friends with sinners, I'm talking about, amen, that crowd that you can be, amen, that you can be, as it were, bosom buddies with. I ain't bosom buddies with, amen, that crowd that lives, amen, according to the world. I'm friends with them, I'll be friendly with them. Amen, but you know where my dearest friends in all the world are? Amen, in the house of God. Notice what the Bible said. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. You know what David is saying? He's saying, I ain't the only one that goes to church. I'm not the only one that shows up. He said, when I go to church, these others that appear before God there. And in doing so, what is a child of God doing? He is going from strength to strength. Amen. If you'll study it out, here's what you'll literally find. And it means they go from company to company. I'm not doing damage to the Word of God. They are strengthened by the crowd that is there. Amen. Oh, that crowd that shows up. Amen. That is appearing before God. That crowd that's been praying. That crowd that has been walking uprightly. That crowd that my friend is not taking it for granted. That crowd that loves the church like David loves the church. David said, I tell you what I found down there. I found that I can go from one to the other and receive the strength that I need. Hey man, I feel like jumping up on this pulpit this morning. Hey man, Cornell, you say, preacher, do you love the church? I love it. You say, but preacher, there's a lot of people and a lot of old friends that have turned their back. Yeah, but they's been far more than have been true blue. And they's been far more than have kept on their knees and prayed for me. Hey man, I'm glad, thank God, that when I've been discouraged, amen, God, amen, has given us a place and we can go in need of a friend, amen, walk in and somebody say, preacher, I've been praying for you this week, amen, and you walk in, amen, you've had a long, hard week, and somebody said, I just want you to know that God put you on my heart this week, and I've been praying extra special for you, amen, and when you're discouraged and need a friend, amen, I'm glad there is comfort in that stress, and you find it down in the house of God. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the dearest friends I've ever had in this life have been in the house of God. Amen. I'm pretty close with, amen, my siblings. Y'all know Dave. I'm exceptionally close with Dave. Amen. And sometimes I want to punch him in the throat. Amen. But we're close. Amen. Maybe outside of Dave. Amen. Maybe Dave being the exception. I'm closer to the people of God than I am my own flesh and blood. Ain't that good? That's right. I'm going to tell you, when you need a friend, you can find it in the house of God. Amen. You say, but preacher, I've been done wrong so many times. Well, you can focus on that all you want. Or you can say, you know what? There's more that ain't done me wrong than have done me wrong. Believe that's right. Comfort in my stress. Catalyst for my stability. Oh, thank God it's a consolation for my soul. Preacher, why do you love the church? Number four, and I'm done. Amen. It is a chance for me to serve. David said, I won't preach all this, but he said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Notice what he said. He said, I had rather be a doorkeeper. He said, I ain't got to lead the singing. I ain't even got to sing in the choir. I ain't got to be the ruler of the tabernacle. I don't have to be the high priest. But Tim, David said, if I could just serve God being a doorkeeper, if all I had to do is just open the door and greet people and welcome them in and be the watchdog, the guard dog, didn't let anything in, shouldn't be in. He said, if that was the only job I had and my name wasn't posted up on the screen with a title and a position for people to pat me on the back about, he said, I'd just rather serve the Lord. The house of God is a chance for me to serve. Why do you love the church? Well, I believe I love the church because I love the one who loved the church and gave himself for it. He didn't sanction some parachurch organization. I said he didn't. Do y'all know what a parachurch organization is? That's a religious club that's trying to take the place of the church. God never sanctioned that. And there's a lot of good organizations, but amen, people that get more committed to that than they are the church are out of line scripturally. Amen. God didn't call me to the mooses and the gooses and the, amen. The Shriners, so don't get on them Shriners. They do good. They a bunch of drunkards. Amen. But somebody needs to get on them. You'd be amazed how many people have bypassed the church and think that they're serving God because they joined some club. Can I tell you where God wants you to serve? You know where your chance to serve is? The church. Amen. I'm not looking in these days for a chance to do less. I'm looking for a chance to do more. So, oh, you want to be a big shot? No, I just know God deserves anything I can get my hands in and be in line with the church and the structure and leadership of the church. Get involved in that. God deserves my best. Right. And of all the places He could have established a place and a chance and an opportunity for us to serve, listen, you ain't got to look no further than where you are today. You're not too young to serve, and you're not too old to serve. Amen. Can I say that again? You're not too young to serve, and you're not too old to serve. Amen. You say, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. So I don't have experiences like others do. That don't matter. You can serve the Lord some way. So I'm too old, preacher. I've done my share and I'm going to turn it loose out. You don't find that in the Bible. You won't reconcile that thinking with the Word of God. No, sir. Amen. No, sir, you won't. Amen. David said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken his seed begging bread. And in that same psalm, he alludes to his service for the Lord. Is that right? You know why I love the church? Because it's my chance to serve. Amen.